J. Vernon McGee, I love what he said. He said there are two places which a believer can live. He can live in the desert, or he can have a wilderness experience, or he can enter into the blessings of God by spiritually crossing the Jordan River.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Okay, got a question for you. Have you ever been on a boat floating along only to look up and realize the current has carried you far from shore? In the study of Hebrews today, Pastor Bill talks about the real-life dangers of spiritual drifting. Subtle signs that you might be drifting could be apathy, busyness, or simply taking our eyes off Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's join Pastor for today's message, Lest We Drift Away.
Amen. You know, this part is really so wonderful. I love where we're getting finally into chapter 2. Now listen carefully. You know already that this book is anonymous. I believe that Paul is the author, but that doesn't really mean anything. Whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter. We know who penned this letter, because it is a letter. It's not really an epistle. Remember, it is a letter, Hebrews 13, 22, a letter of exhortation. It's not meant to discourage the Jewish believers. It's meant to encourage them. Amen? Hebrews is a book or letter, if you will. It's not about losing your salvation, as so many do believe that. Listen, if you can lose your salvation, then that means that God has a different kind of salvation that's in the Scriptures. In other words, the only salvation I know in the Bible is that of eternal salvation. Amen? Well, that means we are eternally redeemed. We are eternally saved. If we can lose our salvation, if we're truly born again, I mean, does God halfway save people? No, we're saved, loved one. We're saved. You know, we're fully saved. We're fully complete in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's nothing more that we need. If we don't have eternal life, if you can lose it, then Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is not true. Matter of fact, all of chapter 8 of Romans is not true. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And there's about 16, 17 things that says that these things Paul writes will never separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, ends with no separation. So if eternal life is not true, then Romans 8, we need to get rid of it. And if it's not true, we need to throw out Philippians 1, 6, don't we? Being confident. How can we be confident of this? If, you know, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of redemption. We can't be confident, can we? You see what I'm getting at? So we can go through the Bible. How about this one? We need to throw this way out if eternal life is not true. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, he said, my sheep, and this is us, my sheep, they hear my voice. Amen? Everyone say the word hear. Very important word this morning. They hear my voice. He says, I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them, and they follow me. And then he says in the next verse, and no person, nothing on this earth shall ever be able to snatch them out of my hands. Amen? So when we talk about eternal life, that is something that we have. So we're not talking about losing your salvation this morning. We now look at the first of the five warnings, and they have troubled so many believers throughout all the generations, like I just said, because they think they might be able to lose their salvation, that if they just get in trouble, then God is through with them. Loved one, listen, number one, to whom were these warnings given? That's very important. Were they given to unbelievers? Or is a letter written to unbelieving Jews to say, man, you got to get saved? That's not what it's about. It's written to Jewish believers. Very important that we know that and determine that in our heart. And matter of fact, the author, is the author born again? Yes. He even includes himself. You'll find it says we and us throughout the letter here. So it's written to believers. Before us this morning, the first warning out of the five, it's one of the briefest, if you will, and it's the danger of drifting. You know, that's the title of the sermon, is literally, Lest We Drift Away. Now listen, all the warnings are addressed to Jewish believers. Why? They are contemplating, evidently, to return to some form of Judaism, because the temple is still standing, sacrifices are still being offered. That's why God, in chapter 1, what does God do? It starts with God. No other New Testament book starts that way. And he gives the incredible, glorious, unbelievable revelation of who his son is. God says, in the last days, God has spoken through his son. His son, who is the heir of all things, who is God. He is God, amen? He created all things. He sustains all things. Oh my gosh. It's the only name given under heaven by which a man can be saved. The name of Jesus Christ is Lord, amen? So we start thinking about all of this. And so in chapter 1, now listen carefully, very, very important. In chapter 1, do you remember how many commands I gave you in chapter 1? I didn't give you any. Do you know why I didn't give you any commands in chapter 1? There aren't any. That's very important. God starts out, it's all about Jesus. Because Jesus is better, he is superior. 13 times in Hebrews, Jesus is better. He's more superior. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is superior to all things because he created all things. Amen? Jesus is God. He is the God-man. And so chapter 1, it's all about the Lord. There's not one command for the church, not one thing that we need to obey in chapter 1. But now we come to the first command in Hebrews. It's just like Paul. I'm not saying, again, that's how Paul always does it. He gives us doctrine, tells us who someone is or who Christ is and who he is to us. Then he tells us to do something. And so now we go and we look at this chapter here, chapter 2, this first command. Loved one, it is so important. Look at it with me. Therefore, what does that word mean? To go back and see what's there for. Well, that's chapter 1. Because God has spoken in the last days through his son. You got it? Very important. Therefore, we must do something. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Say it again. Heard. Why? Lest we drift away. Loved one, listen. This verse is so pregnant. Every word is vital. Every word has tremendous meaning. Jesus, the creator, the sustainer of all things. Listen, therefore, because Jewish believers and us as well, we have now received a revelation, a better revelation, better than the old covenant. We're now in the new covenant. The first command in Hebrews, boy, every word again in verse 1, they are vital. It is over the top priority, and the command is listen. Open your ears and listen. He says, look at it again. He says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. The four Gospels, Jesus himself, lest we drift away. We must. It's not an option. It is a divine necessity. It could read like this. We must give all the more careful attention to the things that we have heard. Did you notice that the writer did not say rejecting the things that we've heard? Really, that word there where it says the more earnest heed, we could say don't neglect the things that you've heard. They weren't rejecting it, but they were indeed neglecting it, the truth about Jesus Christ. Are you? Boy, that's important. The 21st century church, we can't neglect those things. Listen, we need to listen to Jesus. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Will you ever go wrong by listening to Jesus? No. Will he ever take you to a wrong place? No. Man, listen, we need to be listening to our Lord today more than any other time. And I believe that this second chapter is, like I've said before, Hebrews is perfect timing for this church, 2023. This is a wake-up call, not only to every believer, it is a wake-up call to the church. I want you to think about this, this first command, and I really want you to just get this into your heart right now. The first command, hear Jesus, listen to Jesus. Okay, is that hard? I mean, is it difficult? I mean, does it cause you to sweat? Does it make you, okay, I got to pull out my wallet and give? Come on. No. I mean, there's no labor involved. Do you understand? It's just first command. Listen. God says, you have to listen to my son. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He is superior to all things because he created all things. You have to hear him. Jesus Christ is God's last word to mankind. Amen? There's not another. He is the only one. So he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What did God cry out from heaven? He said, "Behold, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him," or literally, "listen to him." That's how we live in this life, Christian. We not only listen to Jesus, we not only see Jesus, as we'll learn in Hebrews later, we not only consider Jesus, which we're going to learn in Hebrews later, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? It's all about Jesus and no one else. The command, listen to my son. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Why? There comes the reason. Lest we drift away. Drift away, it's only here in the New Testament. Those are nautical terms, okay? It's like a person going out to Lake Grapevine, and they're in their boat, and they pull up to the dock to get gas or go inside and get a Coke or whatever they get, and they tie their boat to the dock, but the rope is tied loosely. So they go in and they buy their Cheetos and Dr. Pepper, whatever they get. They come back out and they go, "My boat's gone." Why? It floated away. It floated away. And the boat, it doesn't cry out, "Hey, come back and get me." It's gone. It floats. It doesn't care. It's just floating away. That's what this word drift away right here means. It means to slip away or to float by. It's like a ring slipping off a finger. It means to be washed away ever so slowly from the place of safety that you need to stay at. That's what it means to drift away. The danger here with those words, loved one, now listen, the danger of drifting away, it's about great loss happening without being noticed. Without being noticed. It's a gradual thing. Have you ever been like on the bank of a river or, you know, and you're fishing and all, or on a boat, and all of a sudden you see a dead fish float right by you? Let me ask you a question. Was the dead fish that was floating by you, were they struggling? No. Why? There's no effort. You know, they're just floating down the river. Listen, drifting requires no effort on your part. It's like a slow, unnoticed leak in your tire. You go there and you're driving and, you know, and you don't know it, but the tire's getting lower and lower. All the air is going out of it unnoticed by you. You don't even notice. And the next thing you know, you're on the side of the road and it's flat. Are you following me? McLaren puts it this way, that great old man who's now in heaven, he says that drifting away conveys a vivid picture of a man holding some treasure with limp fingers and allowing it to drop from his nerveless grasp. Ooh. Now I'm going to ask you a question. The Jewish believers, and this applies to them, it applies to us, what were they drifting away from? The truth about Jesus. Are you following me? That's why chapter 1 was so important. They were drifting away from Jesus. They were drifting away from the things that they have heard about him, which would be the Gospels, the four Gospels, but they were slowly drifting away. That's what's so bad about drifting. It's slow. It's not sudden. No Christian would get in trouble that way. It's slow, slowly, day after day, you drift away from the truth that has set you free. Do you follow me? You just start drifting and you don't know that you're drifting, and you start drifting away from the incredible privileges that you have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You start drifting away from who you used to know, or you know who you are in Christ. You start slowly drifting away from the things that you have heard. And that is the condition of the 21st century church today. The message of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, has floated by, slipped out of the heart of the 21st century church. Amen? Not let it happen here. No, listen, there is a strong current that's flowing through the world and the current today, and it's an ungodly current. And what is Hebrews telling us? This command is telling us right now, don't drift. Number one, you have to anchor your heart to God's word. to the truth. Amen. You have to anchor it. I mean, you're solid. You can't be moved. If you are anchored down, you're right there. Amen. So you anchor your heart to God's word. Matthew 4:4. What did Jesus tell us? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen. That's what this is about, this command. Listen to him. He said, it is written in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay. Then what, Lord? But by every word, every word. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and Jesus is the God-man. Amen? Do you see how important that is? You know that verse by heart. I know that verse by heart. But did you listen? Are you listening? See, that's the command in this second chapter of Hebrews. We are giving a command here. Listen, we've got to anchor our hearts to Jesus lest we drift away slowly, unnoticed, if you will. Why? Because we live in a world, we live in a nation. It's not only a post-Christian nation. Fort Worth is not only a post-Christian city, but we live in a post-truth culture. Do you understand? There's no truth out there. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Amen? I don't care what the world does. I just don't want to do what the world does. No. Oh, listen to me. There's a spiritual current that's flowing through the world. Man, and it's flowing right into the church. We cannot neglect. We have to pay attention to the things that we have heard. Here's what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, he says, here's what you have to do. Are we listening? Okay, he says, deny yourself, disown yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, we hear that, we listen to that, but if we don't put it into our hearts and do that, here's what happens. Jesus, we love him, we adore him, but he slowly starts drifting out of our sight. Why? We're not following him. Listen to the Son. God's last word is Jesus Christ to mankind. Now, look at verse 2. It says, for if the word, okay, spoken through angels, all right, remember that we already covered that. That was the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai, Galatians 3:19 and Deuteronomy 33:2 speaks about when the Lord came down to Mount Sinai and the myriads of angels that were with him in the giving of the law. So it says here, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, in other words, proved sure, and every transgression, any kind of willful disobedience and disobedience, which results from not hearing and listening, it says, received a just reward or just punishment, a penalty. Verse 3, powerful scripture. How shall we escape? Now, the author, again, he includes himself. How shall we escape if we neglect? It did not say if we reject. It says if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, that's Jesus himself, the four Gospels, and of course, a little bit in Acts, and was confirmed or proved true to us by those who heard him. So the apostles, the disciples, all the eyewitnesses. So the author says, how shall we put ourselves right there. How shall we, to whom God has spoken in these last days through his Son, he's the last word, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, so great a salvation? Now listen carefully. The warning here is very, very true. But I want you to see something. It is also very conditional. You see the word if? There's a condition on it. So what is the author doing? The exhortation that is given is to prevent this from happening to the believers. Now I want to ask you a question. How in the world is it possible for any born-again, spirit-filled Christian believer to neglect? That word means to give little attention to. It means to just regard lightly. How can any believer, how is it possible for us to even think about neglecting so great a salvation? Do you know what you're saved from? Amen? You know, being saved is just not a fire insurance policy. That's crazy to think like that. No, loved one, listen, it's so much more than that. For a believer to think lightly, regard lightly this great salvation that we have, what does that mean? There is only one reason and one answer. they do not understand or they do not believe that it is a great salvation. Listen, we have been saved. We are saved by grace. We are saved, loved one. Oh, dear Lord, we are saved by a great Savior at a great cost from a great penalty, and all mankind needs it desperately. Every person needs to be. Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen? Now, listen, we were dead. Now, I was dead. I don't know about you, but when that hippie on the beach, whenever back in the hippie days, back in the what we call the Jesus movement, the Time magazine called it the Jesus Revolution. It was the last great awakening, by the way, in America. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young people came to Christ. What a glorious time that was. But we're not living in the old days. We live now. I'm ready for the revival now. Amen. Yes. So, loved one, here's the deal. You know, I mean, when you think about this, here we are. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was spiritually dead. I went through the activities of life, but I only had physical life. I did not have spiritual life. I wasn't chasing after God. God was chasing after me. I didn't want anything to do with God, but He wanted everything to do with me. Same with you. The moment that I was born again, I didn't know that I was justified. I couldn't probably even spell that word back then. And I certainly didn't know what justified meant. I didn't know anything. I didn't know the 66 books of the Bible. I didn't know what sanctification meant, justification meant. I didn't know. I was a dummy. But the very moment that I was born from above, the very moment I was declared as if I had never sinned by God, just like you. Now listen, I did not know the book of Ephesians. I did not know if that was in the Bible. I never heard of it. But at that very moment, you know what God in heaven did to me? Here I am, not even an hour old in the Lord. I was declared righteous in His eyes, just as if I had never sinned. And not only that, the book of Ephesians teaches me the moment. Listen, Paul writes, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us, pronounced us blessed in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Every blessing. I didn't know that. Every blessing belonged to me. I was begging God to bless me after that. I didn't know I was blessed. Amen. Do you understand? I didn't know that He chose me before the foundation of the world. I didn't know that at that very moment, I still had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket and I had a case of beer in my truck. Don't be religious. And I'm standing there on the beach. The sun is coming up. And I'm not an hour old in the Lord. And I am now accepted in the Beloved. I was chosen in Him before the foundation of this world. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was adopted. I became a son of the living God. I was seated in heavenly places with Christ. And God, 2 Corinthians 5:20, and for He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. I didn't know that. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can you, how can I, how can the 21st century church think lightly of so great a salvation? Our names are written in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. We're going to be there forever and ever and ever. Oh, listen, you're saved by grace, not by works. It's a gift of God. You can't earn what God has given unto us. How can you think lightly of that? Oh, I look at that and say, oh, God, forgive us. But let me tell you about this great salvation. This great salvation is identical, the same, to where we left off last Sunday with verse 14 of chapter 1, talking about the angels and how they protect us and all this kind of stuff. It says, who will inherit salvation? That salvation and the salvation in chapter 2 is the same. It's talking about future. You see, we are saved. Amen. We're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. One day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. So this right here, when it says this great salvation, remember that they're writing to Jews, Jewish believers, and it means something. So it's future. This is the millennial reign. This is the kingdom age. That's what this word right here is talking about. It's speaking of sharing in and having and participating in the future kingdom.
Now, we've navigated the initial warning of drifting today, but the good news is our anchor holds. In part 2 of the study, Pastor dives deeper into verses 3 and 4, and we do hope to see you again. Thank you for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.